This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I am here right in time for the holiday to get you a bit more of some spooky fun as we're going to take a quick look into the SCP Foundation today, as well as, well, this still qualifies as a little bit of spooky fun for fans of Young Frankenstein. We'll pay a little bit of tribute to Terry Garr, who just passed away today, the very day that I'm recording this episode, or at least news just spread today. I guess today probably is the day she passed. I haven't looked up anything. I've pulled up a bunch of articles that I'm going to look at here with you. We'll be finding this out and reading this out together as I go through and dive in there, because it was kind of an unexpected thing. But she was 79 years old, so, you know, as you get older, the likelihood you pass kind of builds. So it's not like a complete shock to the system. It's just kind of sad. We're going to miss her for her work on things like Young Frankenstein and Mr. Mom. I think those are the two things I remember her from the most. So we'll pay some tribute to her. We'll talk a little bit about the SCP Foundation. And then I think today I will also have some time. I'm having fun doing this, the public domain radio, and I want to share another episode of Suspense with you because it seems appropriate for this time of year, and I want to get this episode out just in time before you expect children to come by your house and try to get some candy. This year it's going to be different for me. My church, this is the first time that in the history of this church that we've done a trunk or treat at our church. And my wife and I have kind of been put in charge of the youth, and we're trying to build and grow it. And some people have said, well, we don't have anything for the children to do around here. And like, okay, trunk or treat. So we're going to try to get the neighborhood kids to come by and hopefully a bunch of other kids. We've had at least one sign out in front of the church. I wanted to get another sign out on the corner, but that didn't happen. So my wife has better handwriting than I do, but she's also a busy teacher. So we just didn't get that other sign made. But I'm hoping enough people come by. And if you happen to be in the Kansas City area, especially if you're near Claycomo, 310 Randolph Road there in Claycomo, we're just off 435 near Worlds of Fun. Come on by, bring your kids and come get some candy with us. We would sure appreciate it. We want this to grow and become a big deal and have kids that get excited to come to visit the church and bring your parents. And especially we need to get some teenagers, because that's what my wife and I are going to be teaching, is mainly like middle school and I figure up through 20. And we're starting to try to have youth meetings on Sunday nights. So we're trying to build a thing. And I tell you what, if you happen to be in the Kansas City area and you'd like to come and check us out, well, we'd sure appreciate it. It's hard to get something started when we haven't had it. We've got a lot of older folks in the church. And so this is an attempt to grow and we really need to do it. So, and we're doing something different this year by having the trunk or treat. So I'm kind of excited. I hope it turns out really well. And we hope have a lot of kids come by and have some fun with us. That's our hope and our goal. So let's do some of our normal bits of fun that we normally do. So what have I been watching? And I'm trying to think, have I watched anything significant other than the Chiefs being 7-0? I know some of you out there, you know, if you're not in Kansas City, you're probably like, oh, nah, the Chiefs. Nah, nah, nah. But that's okay. Hey, we're 7-0. It doesn't change the fact we are 7-0 around here, and we're enjoying another good football season. We've just even brought in another good player. I think another on the defensive side. We've just got a new wide receiver that we traded into the Titans, and he performed very well this past Sunday. So I've been watching the Chiefs, but I haven't really. I don't think I've really watched any like normal TV shows. I don't watch a lot of TV, and so I can't think of anything significant. I meant to watch a little bit more specials for the season, like Doctor Who, you know, the Time of the Angels. That's something I usually like to pull out every year, and I haven't gotten around to it. Just haven't really had that kind of time. But what have I been playing? Those of you who follow on YouTube, one of the YouTube channels, because the podcast is, of course, on YouTube, but we also have the official Neverland Gaming channel, which is where I've been doing what we call scare play, and I've lately still been playing Dead Space, trying to get through it before the holiday is up, and I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm pretty far through it. I mean, it's an older game where, you know, about 4 to 6 hours is a pretty good average time for a game, and of course, this remake, I don't know how many hours I'm supposed to put into it, and I think I've got around over 6 hours, but I really only seem to have time to play it over the weekends. So we get to a weekday and I just don't have that kind of time. And instead of playing a game, I'm here talking to you. So that's definitely a valuable use of my time, is to come and talk to you. So the game doesn't get played, but I like doing this. So, I mean, it's not my bread and butter, but this is what's gotten me in a lot of places, is doing this show. And it's nice to be able to have y'all out there that I can share some fun with. So I do appreciate that. And if you've never left us a review, boy, I tell you what, we could certainly use some and some sharing of this show. And also go and check out, I've made sure now that we are everywhere with Watching Movies with My Pastor. I'm still got plans. It's trying to find time and everything, make sure we watch these movies. But I still have plans. The next movie on our slate is I want to watch the 2002 Spider-Man film and have that as our next episode. So get in there, subscribe now, and listen to what we've done so far. Especially, we did have a special episode for the month. We did watch The Adventures of Ichabod, which is what I call half of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. So we watched, of course, the Sleepy Hollow part of it and had a good old time doing that as well. So we think you will enjoy listening to us commentate on that. And just the idea here is you get a little bit of information maybe about it, but also just have the fun shared experience of what it's like watching the movie if you're familiar with it. And we're hoping you just have fun like you're sitting with your friends watching movies. So that's available, of course, on YouTube and also, of course, wherever you find your podcasts. Go and hit it there as well. And everything can be found at NeverlandPodcast.com. So lots of fun things that I'm trying to put out there into the world to spread some fun, which I guess is one of my purposes in life. It's just try to find some fun and keep it out there because we're getting close to the end of election season and everything is knuckling down. My wife and I were actually able to go and vote early on Saturday. Glad for that. Got it over with. I just wish that meant that I didn't get any more of the text messages, phone calls, or have to see any more political ads. That it was all go away until it's all over and done with. Of course, working in a television station, it means also we have some stuff ramping up to prepare for the news feature of everything's going to want on election night. And I've been trying to work on a project where ABC has sent us stuff. And so I've been trying to film things and it's not going well right now to put together our stuff for our election thing. It was kind of a frustrating day with that, trying to get it to turn out. And it's not turning out the way that everybody would like. So I certainly am trying. But yeah, so it's been a frustrating day. But you know what? A good way sometimes to deal with the frustration is to come here and just have some fun with y'all. And so that's my goal. I don't want to complain on this show, but yeah, it's been a very, very busy time. But we got our voting done. But something else, we did do something fun. On Saturday, we went actually with my church. A bunch of us went out to an apple orchard just north of Bonner Springs. And, you know, my wife and I actually had already been out to this same orchard once before and got some Jonathan apples and picked some apples. But we went out there and picked some more apples and had some fun with that. Went out to Cracker Barrel after that to have some lunch. And then Philip likes to do the same. Philip is our pastor. And when you talk about watching movies with my pastor, that is the Philip there. And also Philip tends to be sometimes co-hosting with me on here, although it's been difficult to find times to co-host things because I have like a limited time and I just got to, you know, get things going sometimes with the show. So I haven't had to have him on here in a while, but he is the pastor of Watching Movies with My Pastor. But he's done this thing even since when he was a children's pastor where we have Apple Fest. And Apple Fest, we watch the Disney Johnny Appleseed, because there is some good values in there. And John Chapman, of course, had a great faith in the Lord. And so we like to sing along, too, with it. But we do that and then we eat a lot of different apple foods and treats. And my wife made a lentil soup with apples in it. And someone else made some pork with apples in it. So it's like roasted some pork with some apples to kind of flavor it. And it was pretty good. I think there was also a potato soup, but I think potato soup didn't have any apples in it, but that's okay. I made a Chex Mix that didn't have any apples in it as well. So But yeah, lots of Apple goodies and all kinds of fun. And we just have a great time on a Sunday evening watching a movie and talking about, you know, Philip's always got a good lesson he shares about the apples. It's a good way to teach the Trinity of an apple. So we did that on fun, got my voting done. And so that's kind of what we've been doing this week. And now, though, it is time, of course, to talk about this here show and stuff that we're going to go on and do. Now, of course, I do want to remind you about W.GG. Use the discount code Neverland, or hey, even go to neverlandpodcast.com, find the big giant W logo and click there so you can get your discount. I get a little bit of kickback, though, from what you order. If you happen to be a gamer and you want some energy without getting the jitters, they have powders you mix into water and all kinds of different fun things. That's good, healthy vitamin stuff. So go and check it out. That's W. Alrighty. Now, at this point, normally I would do the trailer park, but I haven't done a trailer park in a long time, and the trailer park has moved over to be an exclusive feature for those who are part of the Red Circle exclusive memberships, which you can find right there in the show notes, a link to become an exclusive member, or you can join our Patreon page where I will share those there, as well as you can hear these shows without the ads. Not me talking about an ad, but the ads themselves that you hear about midway through the show and beginning and the end. So there are ways, so if you don't want to hear the ads, that you can also support the show. But okay, I'm going to switch gears to where I was going to go straight into the SCP, but as I mentioned before, Terry Garr passed away, and I've got to allow ads on a page in order to read about it. So just give me a second here. There we go. All right. So Terry Garr, I'm known for starring roles in Young Frankenstein and Tootsie, which I've never seen Tootsie. She passed away here just today, 79 years old in Los Angeles. She died of complications due to multiple sclerosis. She began her career in the entertainment industry as a background dancer in a number of Elvis Presley movies. Did not know that. Went on to earn an Academy Award nomination for her role as Sandy Lester in the 1982 Dustin Hoffman comedy Tootsie. She's the daughter of Eddie Garr. He was a well-known vaudeville comedian, and Phyllis Lind, one of the original Rockettes at New York's Radio City Music Hall. And she just seemed destined for show business with those kind of parentage. So she appeared in Elvis Presley movies that include Viva Las Vegas, Roustabout, and Clambake. She was a featured dancer on Shindig, performed as a cast member on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. First big break came as Gene Hackman's girlfriend in the 1974 Francis Ford Coppola thriller, The Conversation. I did not know that they had worked together before Young Frankenstein. So Mel Brooks hired her, of course, as Gene Wilder's lab assistant in Young Frankenstein. If only she could speak in a German accent, and she did this. So I did find a comment from Mel Brooks. He tweeted this out on X or Twitter, and he said, "So very sorry to hear about Terry Garr's passing. She was so talented and so funny. Her humor and lively spirit made the Young Frankenstein set a pleasure to work on. Her, quote, German accent had us all in stitches. She will be greatly missed." And I think that's the one I'm going to remember her first. Michael Keaton actually did release a statement. Looks like he put it out here on Instagram. He said, "This is a day I feared and knew was coming. Forget about how great she was as an actress and a comedian. She was a wonderful woman, not just great to work with, but great to be around. And go back and watch her comedic work, man. She was great. There's also, looks like David Letterman shared on Instagram, "Terry Garr's many appearances on Late Night gave it a cache and importance not to impossible without her. She was a first-class actor and comedian and a lovely human being, a bright star and a real friend of the show. He says he was lucky to know her. She elevated it all, and I'm sad she's gone." And that's from David Letterman. And looking at a lot of different photos, of course, on David Letterman. And I remember, I think the first thing I saw her on was Mr. Mom. So it's appropriate, I think, of seeing it from Michael Keaton. I don't see if Dustin Hoffman has anything to say. He might have, but he maybe has not shared it in time where anybody's seen it. Jumping over to IMDb, they have, of course, a list of movies that she'd be known for. Last thing she was in was How to Marry a Billionaire back in 2011. Other things, let's see if I recognize. She popped up on Law and Order, which I'm sure a lot of people have been watching that one. Aloha, Scooby-Doo. Greetings from Tucson. What's New, Scooby-Doo? She was Sandy Gordon. Apparently, that's not a continuing character, though, in Scooby-Doo shows. Let's open this up a little there. did a one episode of the Felicity series. Mary McGinnis, she was on Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker. Also, of course, Mary McGinnis on Batman Beyond for 10 episodes. Did one episode of King of the Hill. One episode of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Did an episode of ER. Batman Beyond the movie in 1999. Casper Meets Wendy. She, of course, was Phoebe Abbott Sr. in three episodes of Friends. Appeared as herself, actually, on the Weird Al show. One episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Sliding down. I'm going back in time here for anything that I, you know. Oh, look, she did an episode of Frasier. She was just a voice. Let's see. Going back. Dumb and Dumber as Helen Swanson. Adventures in Wonderland. I remember watching that. She was in six episodes as Duchess. I don't recall seeing her in that. I remember watching that as my teenage years. Let's see. Tales from the Crypt. She did an episode of that. Going back in time. Oh, she popped up on Sesame Street back in 1987. Going back. Ray Parker Jr. Ghostbusters. Oh, that's right. She's in the music video. She's uncredited for that, but she makes an appearance to say Ghostbusters. I recall that. Black Stallion Returns. Alex Mother. I don't think I saw that one. I think I read the book of the Black Stallion. It's a slow read when you're young, and I think at some point we watched the movie in school. Let's see. Moving backwards, there's the original Black Stallion. She was in that one as well. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Let's see, going back. Oh, there was a TV movie called Law and Order. That's interesting. There she was at the Sonny and Cher show. I think we mentioned that before. There's Young Frankenstein in 1974, where she played Enga. Then an episode of Barnaby Jones. And also two episodes of the Bob Newhart show. The Odd Couple, the new Dick Van Dyke show. She was a waitress. I didn't know there was a new Dick Van Dyke show. Going back. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And here's where we start getting where she makes just small appearances in a lot of Elvis movies here as well. Oh, even as a girl outside a rink on the 1966 Batman, she popped up for one episode. She was raised primarily, though, in North Hollywood, California. She was the third child of course, we mentioned her studio customer mother. She trained actually in the ballet and other forms of dance, and of course, having the small roles, as we mentioned, in dance, doing dances and stuff in the background for Elvis and everything like that. Seeing if there's anything else interesting in, let's look. We talked about her career, film and television, some later work. In 2006, she published an autobiography called Speed Bumps, Flooring It Through Hollywood, which details her career and health struggles after a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. She appeared on the Moth Radio Hour broadcast December 9th, 2009. Tell a humorous reminiscence of Wake Up Call. She last acted on television in 2011, which we mentioned. She appeared on the 19th annual Race to Erase MS event in 2012, and she officially have retired acting in 2011, and apparently that was revealed in 2019. So, yeah, that's basically a lot of the things about the life of Terry Garr. There's a lot more if you wanted to go and look up at Wikipedia or IMDb, lots of information. But yeah, I mainly know her from like those two movies of Mr. Mom, which she's kind of funny in that one. But really, it's Michael Keaton's movie, Young Frankenstein. She's very funny as Enga. And I'm always going to, I think, appreciate her more for that. So she would have been about 30 years old when that movie came out. So that's, I think, the youngest I've ever seen her. But now I'm curious on Elvis movies. I want to look at a background dancer just to see if I spot her. All righty. Well, as before we get into the SCP Foundation, well, you know what? I mean, I was going to break for a commercial, but that's not. We'll break for a commercial after this and when we hear some radio fun. But let's jump into some more spooky content with the SCP Foundation, which has its origins around 2007, 2008. So the SCP Foundation started as a collaborative writing project in the early days of internet creepypasta culture. I feel like I should have looked up where did creepypasta come from. I was talking to my wife about this, and my guess is that creepypasta is like you have a lot of people who are getting together to make, you know, because a pasta is a lot of mixture of different things, and it's like a lot of people getting together because since it's a collaborative writing, you do something creepy that's like a pasta that a bunch of people are cooking or adding their own ingredients, some different ingredients into the pasta. That's at least what I've kind of taken, almost like a salad. That's where I'm thinking creepypasta came from, but I don't know that I'm accurate about that. I should probably find that out one of these days. It originated, though, not creepypasta, but the SCP Foundation on 4chan's X board dedicated to paranormal topics in 2007 with a post about SCP-173. The post described a hostile statue-like entity that moves only when not observed, a concept inspired by the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who and psychological horror elements. This post sparked interest and others contributing to the idea by expanding on containment procedures and inventing new creatures and objects. These entries were soon organized on a wiki, giving rise to the SCP Foundation's structured format. In 2008, the project moved to its own website, scp-wiki.wiki.com, where it evolved into a collaborative storytelling universe with hundreds of authors adding entries across genres. At its heart, the SCP Foundation describes a secretive, pseudo-governmental organization dedicated to securing, containing, and protecting anomalous entities, objects, and phenomenon referred to as SCPs. Each SCP file follows a specific format resembling classified documents, which describes 1. Containment procedures. Each entry explains the protocols needed to keep the anomaly safely contained, and this is often where the tension begins, as many SCPs are unpredictable or nearly impossible to control. 2. Description. A detailed summary of the SCP's physical properties, behaviors, or supernatural traits. These descriptions vary from humorous or surreal to deeply unsettling. 3. Incident reports or addendums. Files often contain incident logs that describe experiments or containment breaches, which add to the storytelling and lore of the SCP universe. Some notable entries include SCP-173, The Sculpture. It's a humanoid statue that can only move when it's not observed. It kills victims by snapping their necks. SCP-173 remains one of the most iconic entries, being the first SCP written and inspiring the aesthetic of many subsequent entries. SCP-087, The Endless Staircase, a dark, claustrophobic staircase that descends endlessly. Those who enter the staircase report the sounds of a crying child and increasingly disturbing encounters the deeper they go. SCP-682, The Hard-to-Destroy Reptile, a massive, hyper-intelligent reptilian entity with a hatred for life. Known for its aggressive nature, the SCP-682 has survived numerous termination attempts, making it a symbol for the Foundation's struggle to maintain control. SCP-096, The Shy Guy, a humanoid that covers its face and becomes violently enraged if anyone sees it. Once triggered, SCP-096 will pursue the observer no matter the distance, killing them and then returning to a docile state. The SCP universe explores themes of knowledge versus control, bureaucracy, and cosmic horror. Many entries are written to convey the idea that humanity is fragile and the only thing standing between civilization and destruction is an overworked, underfunded organization performing a thankless task. Anomaly and the unknown. Much like Lovecraftian horror, the SCP Foundation thrives on the fear of the unknown. The SCPs often defy conventional logic, and the Foundation's attempts to understand them only lead to more questions. The clinical, matter-of-fact style of SCP entries enhances their eeriness, making them feel like real government documents. And of course, there's collaborative world-building. The SCP Foundation invites authors to contribute and expand the universe, fostering user-driven storytelling where each entry builds on the lore of others. Now, this has had an impact on pop culture. The SCP Foundation has inspired several games that highlight the unpredictable and terrifying nature of the anomalies. This includes SCP Containment Breach from 2012, and this is a free indie horror game where players must escape from a containment facility following a catastrophic breach. It became a cult hit for its procedural elements and encounters with SCPs like 173 and 096. That being free, I'm going to have to look. I bet it might be available on Steam. I'm going to look it up. SCP Secret Laboratory came from 2017. This is a multiplayer game in which players take on roles as SCP guards or researchers working against or with each other to survive and complete objectives. These games emphasize the SCP Foundation's appeal on predictable scenarios where players face threats beyond their control. Much like the Backrooms, SCP-inspired videos on YouTube have gained popularity. Creators produce found footage videos or documentary-style videos that mimic the format of SCP entries, giving the impression of leaked classified information. Channels like The Volgun and SCP Explained have popularized these stories, bringing them to a broader audience. The SCP Foundation is a pioneer in the collaborative online storytelling, inspiring similar projects across the internet. Its influence extends beyond fiction, with other writers and creators adopting the secure, contain, protect structure for their own original works. The SCP Foundation is a unique phenomenon in that it is copyright-free, operating under a Creative Commons license, meaning anyone can build on the SCP universe. This open approach to creativity has allowed the SCP project to thrive, becoming a lasting part of internet culture. This is liminal horror for a digital age. Like the Backrooms, SCP stories reflect modern fears, bureaucratic failures, surveillance culture, and the sense that we live in a world teetering on the edge of chaos. And it subverts the horror tropes. While many SCPs are terrifying, some entries subvert expectations by being comedic, heartwarming, or absurd, showing the range and flexibility of the SCP format. Now, the SCP Foundation stands as a monument to collaborative storytelling, demonstrating how communities on the internet can come together to create immersive, compelling fiction. Its influence spans video games, YouTube series, fan fiction, and indie horror projects, making it a cultural touchstone for the digital age. The SCP Foundation continues to grow and evolve, with new entries and contributors constantly redefining the universe. It's a testament to how imagination and fear can inspire people to build entire worlds together and then try to contain them. Now, when I first started seeing stuff about SCP, I was watching people play games, and that's where I first found it. But it does remind me a lot of Men in Black, or if you've seen the Hellboy movies, you have the RPD within Hellboy. Am I getting that right? Am I remembering? It's been a while since I watched Hellboy. That's something else that's fun to pull out in October. It's actually a pretty good movie. But there are things that go bump in the night, and we are the ones that bump back. I remember that line from the film, and I enjoyed the first movie way back. The second one was still pretty good. I didn't watch any of the movies after that because I haven't heard that they were really that great. So I've left them alone. I did read some of the original Mike Mignola comics, and they were interesting. They build on a lot of old folklore. And so maybe they're hunting down some monster out of folklore, that kind of thing. It's really, really kind of neat. So really good stuff. But it also reminds me of the game Control, which is by the game developers Remedy, which is known for doing stuff like Max Payne or Alan Wake. They're really good at doing some interesting, mysterious, and sometimes scary games and stories that are just on the cusp of not being full horror. Although Alan Wake, I guess, kind of steps into horror a bit more. Alan Wake 2, I haven't gotten to play yet, but I hear it really dove into being scary. But Control is, if you haven't played it, I got a platinum on that thing. It's really wild because it is like a government agency, and there's objects of power and all these different things. And they're trying to contain all these different items that somehow or another have this weird ability that they can be extremely dangerous. And you are playing a character that goes in there looking for answers to something, for something that happened to her as when she was a little girl, and she's looking for her brother. And it's a really great mystery story. And you also have, she wanders in there just as some horrible things have happened in there and released these entities that are whispering around them, and it's possessing people. And I don't want to give too much detail on it because I think you should go and check it out. If you like some good sci-fi and mysteries and, you know, slightly scary stuff with actually some pretty good action gameplay. And you even have the option to turn off your ability to die, which is how I got a platinum. I did that just because, like, some I don't mind at my age just going through and playing and enjoying the story and the adventure that a game presents me. And sometimes I want to go for the challenge and sometimes I don't. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go and experience the story of this. And I did, and I had a great time, and I definitely recommend it. But it definitely, reading about the SCP reminds me of some of the concepts in Control. And I don't know how long Remedy was developing Control. I don't know if they were inspired by anything that you find out about the SCP Foundation, but it is very reminiscent of just having these entities, except for nothing's really necessarily a monster itself. Mainly it's a lot of objects, but these objects are dangerous. Like, for one, there is this refrigerator that someone has to stare at it all the time, and you cannot look away. It has to be observed, and if you don't look at it, and you don't see what happens, but you have somebody that everything has gone bad, so this guy has not been relieved of duty from staring at this refrigerator, and he's kind of terrified, and you try to come around to help him with this cursed object, and as you leave the area where he's behind glass, you come around the side trying to get to the door to get in there to him. Something happens to the guy, and you never really see what, but somehow or another with that refrigerator, something killed him brutally. So it's that kind of thing where these objects are just scary. But I don't recall their specific monsters, although there is a connection to like the Alan Wake, like they're creating a shared universe. And there's a character from the first Alan Wake game that there's some DLC on Control that you see what finally happened to a certain character in Alan Wake. And it was actually playing Control that got me interested in playing Alan Wake. And I found out that it was available on the PS4 because originally it had been only an Xbox exclusive. And I granted, I do have an Xbox, but I hadn't been playing with it much. I mainly switched over to my PlayStation. So that got me interested into getting my copy of Alan Wake. And I did play through that. If you'd like to see that playthrough. I don't know if I have Control up on the Neverland Gaming channel, but I know I've got my Alan Wake playthrough on there as scare play from, I think, a couple of years back. I think I played that one as a scare play. Control, I didn't know was going to be kind of scary. I wasn't sure. But yeah, I really enjoyed Control. I've played it through twice now on both PS4 and PS5 because I think I noticed on PS5 it had a completely different trophy set. So I thought, I'm going to go and get these trophies. So I did have some fun with that. So, but yeah, definitely reminiscent. So if you're interested in stuff like the SCP, there's a game available for you on whatever console you have. I think it's probably on PC as well, probably on Steam. I know I'm going to look on Steam and see if I can find any of the, you know, since this is a free game here, I might want to give this a try. I have seen where someone has combined the concept of the back rooms and the SCP together in one game. So where you have some SCP entities wandering around the back rooms. And of course, we mentioned Kane Pixels last time where he's got, I think Async is the group he's come up with that are supposed to be studying the back rooms, but it would make sense. Something like the SCP would be looking into the back rooms and studying in on that and trying to figure out to contain the entities therein. So very, very interesting stuff going on with that. And I am going to, of course, look up this website later because I am curious and I didn't realize that they've got it all collected in one place. So I will try to put a link to this website up for you. So if you would like to go and check it out, Endlessly Adapting Lizard. I'm seeing that their Plastic Graveyard is a featured tale, The World Builder. There's site news on here. But yeah, there's an entire website now that I'm looking at. Official sister site, The Wanderer's Library. Collaboration Across the World, International Translation Archive. So yeah, there's a lot of different things going on with this. And you can actually create an account here to you if you have ideas and you want to share some story ideas, apparently is what this is. Very, very, very cool. All right, but I do have time to share some fun with an old public domain radio program. We're going to listen to another episode of Suspense right after this commercial break.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Come in. Come on in and join my wispy white friend. Oh, you're shivering. Cold? Well, don't let it throw you. Just remember that many are cold, but few are frozen. Oh, yes, your sheet is reserved for you. But please don't tear it. Remember the high ghost of living. Now, if you've got some time to kill, let's kill it.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Judas Clock, was written by Frederick Matho and stars Barry Kroger in the role of Sebastian with Lawson Zerbe as Andrew.
Now, all comfortable and tense? Good. Now, I want to warn you, if you feel a pair of thin, cold hands passing over your face, don't be frightened. The hands belong to a clock. A monster called Cleopatra's clock. It's a very unusual clock. For years, it's been giving people the works. The story is really the story of Sebastian Packer. Since this clock can only murder, since it can't talk, we let Sebastian speak for it.
I'm a clockmaker. I carry on the profession my father taught me in London. I like clocks. All that is but one. For 30 years, I've looked for a certain clock and a certain man. The clock is known to collectors as Cleopatra's clock. The man I swore to kill when, as a boy of 14, I closed my father's blazing eyes and wiped the froth of blood from his lips. Last night, I found Cleopatra's clock. Tonight, I may have found the man.
I'm told you're an expert clock repairman, Mr.
Packer, madam. Well, yes, I suppose I am.
Well, I have a clock. Rather, my husband has.
Yes?
And it hasn't run for years. Would you have a look at it?
Well, can't you bring it in?
Oh, heavens, no. It weighs 500 pounds. One of those huge marble things. Italian Renaissance, I'd say.
Marble? Italian? Could you describe it further?
Well, it's rather unusual. Black marble, heavily carved with strange Egyptian characters. The ivory face has a beautifully etched scene on it, but it's a gruesome one.
Gruesome? What kind of scene?
It's a picture of a woman, a beautiful woman, and she's holding the limp form of a young man in her arms.
Yes.
It's ghastly.
Cleopatra's clock. I knew without seeing it why the clock wouldn't run. It had been built in Italy for a prince of the House of Savoy in 1598. He conceived the clock when he discovered that his family treasures included 40 gold coins minted by Cleopatra and an Egyptian parchment. A parchment describing in horrible detail the death by poison of Cleopatra's young brother. The 40 gold coins were those Cleopatra had given a trusted servant to administer the poison to her brother. The writer of the parchment had slain the servant for his treachery and carried the coins with him to Rome. The Cleopatra clock was made to run only when the 40 gold coins were in place in the clock's hollow weights. 20 in each weight. And the coins had been in my possession since the day of my father's death.
Well, Mr. Packer, can you fix it?
What? Oh, sorry. Daydreaming. Yes, of course. Does Mr. Arnold know that you're having the clock repaired?
No. We've only been married a few weeks, and I'd like to have it working when he comes back to town tomorrow. Sort of a surprise.
I see. I'll be there in half an hour, Mrs. Arnold. So last night I went to the Arnold house and I found Cleopatra's clock again. It's 6 feet of black marble, glistening. Its pendulum, motionless. Its hollow weights, empty. And waiting. I started to work. Foghorns from the East River sounded much as I remembered they did in London. And suddenly I was back there on a fateful day, about a fortnight after the clock had first been uncrated by my father. I was in the shop when the man from Scotland Yard stepped in. He walked straight to the clock and stared at it.
Good afternoon, sir. Does the clock interest you?
Very much. When did you acquire it?
A cousin bought it at auction in Italy, and I'm displaying it for sale on consignment.
My name's Pettibone, Scotland Yard. I've been looking for this clock for a month. It was stolen in Italy.
Stolen?
Yes, Mr. Packer, and worse. Murder was done. You know, I'm afraid you've involved yourself in a bit of something here.
Murder?
I'm taking possession of the clock in the name of the Crown.
I shall never forget the look of horror on the detective's face as he laid his hand on the clock's carved column. It froze there while his face drained to pasty white and his eyes bulged. He opened and closed his mouth soundlessly and crumpled to the floor, his hands to his throat. He was still and twisted and very dead.
Mr. Pettibone had died of a heart attack the moment he took possession of the clock. My father wanted time to think, so I helped him drag Pettibone into the stockroom. I went to my quarters. I dozed fitfully, to awake hours later at the sound of angry voices.
Well, Cousin Andrew, you've done me a fine turn, haven't you?
I've told you I didn't mean to kill the old girl. It was an accident. And don't talk so loud, the boy will hear us.
You killed her as soon as you learned that she'd made out a will in your favor. And then when you thought it was safe, you sold all her furnishings and sent the clock to me to sell.
All right, I did. And you're in it to the ears.
I'll go to the police.
And how will you explain poor stiff Mr. Pettibone lying in your stockroom all this while?
Well, I...
Besides, there's nothing to fear. Now that Pettibone is gone, he was the only one who suspected me. Now, you're the only one who knows.
I'll crate this cursed black monster tomorrow, and you leave with it.
And will you also crate Mr. Pettibone?
Oh.
Look, I have a plan. Here, sit down in this chair right here, and I'll show you how we can solve the whole thing.
My young heart beat with a wild dread as I listened. I could only see Cousin Andrew's back, but I could see Father, seated dejectedly in the chair near the black marble clock, his head in his hands. It was midnight. All the clocks in the shop began striking the hour. And louder than all the rest was the chime of the evil clock. If only then I had known, I might have done something. 8, 9, 10. 11, 12. And before my horrified eyes, the heavy marble piece leaned slowly from the wall and crashed across my father's back. Cousin Andrew stood facing my father as the clock pinned his frail form in the crushed chair. It choked him. He made little, pitiful sounds, his eyes begging for life. But my cousin Andrew just stood his back to me and watched.
Wandering sinners, you die hard.
Then Cousin Andrew ran from the shop, crying for help, and claim an accident. I raced into the shop. My father was dead. I choked back my tears. I closed his poor, staring eyes. Then, for some reason, I thought of the coins and the clock's weights. I took them and I ran from the shop, the blood-stained gold pieces jangling merrily in my pocket. Armed with the notion that the coins were of value and the definite notion that I must eat, I approached one of the many dingy little curio shops in the Limehouse district. I stepped through the fog toward a shop where a dim light burned in the rear. Every inch of wall and ceiling was hung with curios, with old armor, swords, shields. I would have run out, but a wizened, apish man barked at me from the rear.
Well, what do you want?
I have something to sell.
What have you got?
I have 40 gold pieces, sir. They're supposed to have been the coins Cleopatra paid a servant to poison her brother.
I twist the scrawny neck off of you. You're pulling my leg, eh?
Oh, no, sir, I'm not pulling your leg, sir. Here they are.
Blimey. Gold, right enough. Where did you cop them?
I didn't steal them. They belong to my father.
Oh, it's a likely tale.
Will you buy them, sir?
Oh, ho, 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 buy them, he says. Buy them. Oh, you get out of here before I cause a bobby, you scamp. Go on, I'll get out.
Give me back my coins.
Get out or I'll come about and fetch you a sound one.
The ugly brute came toward me. He held my coins clutched in a tight, hairy fist. Before I could move, he'd struck me. The wall with a clatter. And then it happened. As I hit the wall, my eye caught a metallic gleam above me. I leaped back instinctively. As the hairy arm thrust at me again, a heavy metallic object dropped from the ceiling. It struck across the forearm of the clenched fist. I stared first at the man's gaping mouth, then at the great bleeding gash in the arm he clutched with his other hand, at the blood that dripped on the object that had struck him. It was an ancient headsman's axe. The gaping mouth opened and closed, making no sound. And then, with a moan of horror, the pawnbroker crumpled to the floor. I clamped my mouth upon a cry of panic. I stooped to gather all the coins that had fallen from the man's hand. Blood made them slippery. Thrusting them into my pocket, I stumbled, whimpering in fright, through the shop and into the night. And the fog of London never swallowed a more frightened and a more lonely boy. Touched those horrible coins since the day the storekeeper's wrist had been cut by the falling headsman's axe. By now, I half believed the legend that evil followed them. I began to feel that the only way I could escape their curse was to find the Cleopatra clock and put the coins back in the hollow weights where they belonged. One day, as I read the notices in the Times, my heart skipped a beat. Auction of clocks at Chopin Place Auction Rooms. Saturday at 7, rare items, one of them, fine Italian Renaissance piece of black marble. Rare treat for collectors. Come early. I went early. I was the auction room's first visitor. At the rear of the shop, a balding, dim-lit-eyed man looked up, appraised me as poor in prospects, and turned back to his paper. I felt the 40 gold coins in my pocket. I sauntered casually towards the black, gleaming clock. Other clocks about were ticking. Only the pendulum of the Egyptian clock remained motionless. As I cautiously opened the glass door of the clock to reach for the hollow weights, I seemed to hear my father's words again.
It's an evil clock, son. Evil as Satan himself.
I reached for one of the weights, my intention being to unscrew the cap of the weight quickly and to replace the coin. But I saw something I'd never noticed before. Directly beneath the right-hand weight was a small, round, flat bit of metal set into the floor of the pendulum box. It startled me. I looked over my shoulder towards the man in the rear. He was watching me. I had the unhooked weight in my hand within the clock. I'd have to work fast now to replace the coins. My fingers were sweaty with excitement. The weight slipped and fell directly on the metal piece beneath it.
I say, what are you doing there? Let me!
I paid no attention to the man now coming toward me, because something was happening within the clock. A whirring sound. Sound of wheels turning, perhaps. And then, in open-mouthed wonder, I watched the supporting panel in the front of the clock suddenly start to rise on hinges. The clock was off balance. The clock moved forward ponderously, and I stood there transfixed in the path of a black marble monster.
It's falling! Look out, you idiot!
I jumped to one side.
Idiot!
Wait for no more. I ran for the street.
Help! Please!
The coins jangled merrily in my pocket as before. I was where I'd started, only as I ran, I knew. My father had been murdered, and I knew how. And I knew who had done it. I walked for miles, trying to pull myself together. I wandered aimlessly, or so I thought. But fate had traced my path before me, because I was startled to find myself staring into the shop window of a rare coin dealer named Megaroid. I walked into the shop. Mr. Megaroid seemed a nice little man. He smiled a bit quizzically at my firm belief that I possessed the betrayal coins of Cleopatra. I poured them on his counter.
Oh, I say, you could be right, you know. These are the right era. Oh, I say, suppose they were. Let me put a glass to them.
Would they be worth a great deal, even if they weren't?
Well, let me see. Oh, yes, gracious, yes, they are nearly new. Fine condition, they should be worth a great deal as collector's items.
Well, Mr. McElroy, I feel there's something I ought to tell you about these pieces.
Yes?
They... Oh, It's not important.
Oh, well, now, just a moment. I have a catalogue on this Egyptian era in my show window. I'll fetch it just as you say.
The coins lay on the counter. I watched Mr. Megalroyd run down the aisle. As he approached the display window, his foot caught in an electric wire which lay across the floor. The lights went out, and I saw him pitch forward. Mr. Megalroyd! The street light peered through the broken plate glass. It played across a grotesquely sprawled form in the shop window. I needed no more light than there was to see what had happened. The upper half of the heavy plate glass had broken and dropped flat against the solid lower half. Mr. Megalroyd lay as the pawn shopkeeper had, holding with one hand the bleeding forearm he had pushed through his plate glass window as he dripped. The gold coins were on the floor, covered with blood once again. I will find out if Mr. Arnold is Cousin Andrew. If he is, I shall feel no remorse in killing him. While working to repair the clock last night, I discovered that my father's accidental death had been a well-conceived, diabolical murder. If the right-hand weight was heavier than normal, thus reached the floor of the clock on the 12th stroke of midnight, it tripped a trigger which collapsed the base of the clock and caused it to fall forward. My father had died on the 12th stroke of midnight.
Have you finished, Mr. Parker?
No, Mrs. Arnold. I'll have to come back tomorrow night. What time do you expect Mr. Arnold tomorrow?
Oh, about 11, I'd say. Will you be finished by then?
Well, I think so. I'd have to take these weights to the shop with me, though. Something, has to be added. I put the coins in their place within the weights. Not 20 in each weight, but 20 in one and 10 in the other. The other 10 coins are in my pocket. In another pocket, I have a small 38, although I don't plan to use it. I have a 30-year-old date to keep.
Think you'll have it fixed in time to strike midnight?
Oh, yes, Mr. Arnold. It will strike at midnight. There we are. Weights are in place now. And it says exactly 5 minutes before midnight. You set the hands and then just a little show on the pendulum. So. And Cleopatra's clock ticks again.
It wakes from a 30-year sleep, eh? Cousin Sebastian?
Cousin?
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. My wife told me your father owned this clock in London.
Yes.
Then I was your father's cousin. So you are Sebastian Packer, the little boy who ran away that night.
You are Cousin Andrew.
Yes, yes. Well, seriously, I don't know how much you know of that horrible night when your father was killed.
I know the clock fell on Father. I heard the sound from my room. I was frightened. I came down the stairs later, in time to see them carry Father away. He's all covered up.
Well, that was why I didn't find you in your room afterward. It happened so fast.
Yes.
We were sitting, talking. The clocks in the store were striking 12. Suddenly, the base of Cleopatra's clock seemed to cave in, and...
I know.
I bought the clock at an auction a few years later. Sentimental, I guess. Yeah. Had it all fixed. It's good and solid now. I saw to that.
Yes. Well, I think I'd better run along now, Cousin Andrew.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense. Let's make up for lost time and get acquainted.
Well...
Come now. I have some fine old port from England here. Sit down a while. No, not that chair. Hmm? This one's a lot more comfortable.
Oh, very well. It's a funny thing. When you work with clocks as long as I have, you get to be quite philosophical about time.
Oh, is that so?
Hmm.
Oh.
Well, here I sit by the big clock, just as my father sat 30 years ago. Do you know how many seconds ago that was, Cousin Andrew?
No, do you?
Well, 350,360,000 seconds in 10 years. That would be 946,080,000 seconds in 30 years.
You've got quite a mechanical mind, Sebastian. Here, try this port here.
Okay. Here's to Father. What's the matter, Cousin Andrew? Are you ill?
No.
Your face is drawn and gray.
Shut up.
It's late. It's after midnight. Better go. I say, you do look awfully ill. Not that I don't care.
I'm playing sinners. Where are you going? Don't go.
I must go, Cousin Andrew. I told the patrolman near my shop that I would like him to meet me at 20 after midnight.
The patrolman?
Yes. But here, sit down and relax. Take my chair. It's more comfortable. Well, you're shaking like a leaf. You just sit quietly. I'll see myself out.
Living sinners.
Good night, Cousin Andrew.
Sebastian! Sebastian! Get it off! Get the clock off me!
You die hard, too, don't you? It was just a matter of timing. I set the hand a minute fast, and the weight didn't touch your clever little spring device till just now, because it's lighter by 10 pieces of blood-stained gold from the coffers of another murderer, Cleopatra. Oh. Rest easy, Father.
And a fine chime was had by all. Gonna leave you now, folks, with a timely moral. You can figure out how long you've lived, sure. That's your pastime. But figuring out how long you're going to live, that's just any old time. Oh, yes, by the way, this story should teach you another lesson. Never complain when you have to work late. Remember that overtime is certainly better than undertime. Heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Alrighty, well, I hope you enjoyed that. And now, of course, I want to remind you about Podgagement real fast. That is Daniel J. Lewis's company. If you happen to have a podcast, you want to be able to get your reviews from around the world and make it easier for people to leave reviews. In fact, if you look right there in your show notes, you'll find links right there to leave a review, even on narrowlandpodcast.com. Like the show in there. You can like and you can subscribe right through a Podgagement. It is a very nice service. He makes it very, very convenient to put everything very well contained and help you get your show out everywhere and make sure you get your reviews that are out everywhere sent to you on email. So, yeah, you can leave reviews for this show and also for I've got Podgagement I'm also using with the Watching Movies with My Pastor. Very nice service. Very, very easy fee that you can pay just once a year. It's a great service for the price. It really is. So, of course, remind you, of course, to go to NeverlandPodcast.com to find all those links, of course, and also for Debbie. We want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope, Christian Nard Unite, and Darren Wilhite, the Wilhite and Wall Show, for helping me out with the intro. Don't forget, you can email us, podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. We are on Twitter or X as the Neverland PCast. Also on Facebook as the Fandom Nexus. I think you can look up Neverland Podcast and find us there as well. We also do have a group. I'm able to interact more with the group. And also, we got a lot of fun stuff from Jonathan of Diz Radio. He shares a lot into the group as well. I don't know how he finds all these different movies that he watches off of, even Disney Channel, and just obscure things. He was sharing all kinds of different stuff I'd never even heard of. It's just kind of fun to look at and say, what in the world was this? Because he's got a library of different things that I don't know where it comes from. Also, of course, you can join the Neverlanders. You can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. Become a Pixie, because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. And don't forget that you can donate at patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast or join our exclusive membership on Red Circle. All this is in the show notes. Go and check it out and click in there, and I do appreciate it. And you will get bonus content in there. But that wraps up the show for this week. I'll see you in November. And until I see you in November, get lost in an adventure. And we'll see you next time.